Caleb, good morning. It's good to have all of you here today. This is going to be a little different sermon than you're used to. I did this a few years ago, but they're going to pass out. I want everybody to take a copy of the green sheet they're passing out. You're going to take a quiz. If you need a pen or a pencil, there should be one in the pew in front of you. And if you need one besides that, Ace has a box full. He'd be glad to pass one to you. So as you get the quiz, don't start before I start with you. I have some explanation to do about what this is for. Number two, this is not a test from the standpoint of seeing how smart you are. It's a test to see how much you have been influenced by society, about what we often call the Christmas story. The Christmas story is supposed to be about the birth of Jesus Christ, but a lot of traditions have been added to the story down through the years. And so what I want you to do is write down the answers that you think. I'm going to go through them one at a time with you. I'm giving you multiple choice options here. You put the one you think is right, then we'll look at the correct answer, and I'll give you the Bible verse that goes with it. In doing that, this is not an open book test. You can do that when you get home. I just want you to see for yourself how much you know about what the Bible has to say about the, are you listening? The birth of Jesus Christ. So that's what this quiz is about. How many of you remember I was doing this several years ago? Just me and Wendell and Josh remembers. I thought it had been a couple of years ago. It's been about eight. So boy, how time flies. But I hope you enjoy it. And if you're visiting with us, this is not our usual kind of sermon, but it will be good for you as well. And hopefully it will be edifying to all of us to stop and think about what do we really know about the Christmas story and what the Bible says about it. So as you're waiting to get your paper and pen, notice that the word Christmas is not in the Bible, along with a lot of other things. And that's what this lesson is really all about. How much has culture affected your knowledge of the birth of Jesus? How many misconceptions have you been harboring? And to give you an illustration of what I'm talking about, a lot of people have never read the Old Testament, but they've seen the show The Ten Commandments. Come Judgment Day, they may be surprised to find out that Moses does not look like Charlton Heston. When I was talking to a young lady one time about baptism being immersion, she said it was sprinkling or pouring. And I said, well, can you find a Bible verse? She said, no, but I'll call my mother, and I know she can. So she called her mother in Ohio, who her mother called back and said, well, didn't John the Baptist baptize Jesus with a shell? And I thought, what in the world is she talking about? Finally, it dawned on me, the story of the life of Jesus that's been put on a movie has John the Baptist and Jesus going down halfway in the water, and he took a shell from the seashore and scooped up water and poured it over his head. I said, that story's not in the Bible either. So you can see how this can be an issue if we get to thinking things in the Bible or not. Okay, you ready to go? Who's the mother of Jesus? We're starting off easy. You have four choices. It was either Martha, Mary, Eve, or Deborah. Anybody want to help out and tell us? I said, help out. It's obviously Mary, right? We all know the story of Mary being the mother of Jesus. Is that correct? Yes, Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, who? Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. So that one we should have all gotten. If you miss that, it's going to get rocky. Number two, Jesus was born in what town? Bethlehem. We know that from the Christmas song, Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem, probably. So that song is correct, and he was born in Bethlehem. Matthew 2 and verse 1 that we just had read to us, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. And so that is where Jesus was born, and that is correct. Nothing wrong then with talking about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Question 3, Joseph was a carpenter. Don't say that out loud, some people may be thinking about it. It is carpenter. He's not a doctor, engineer, fisherman. Interesting that the Son of God was born to a blue-collar worker, ordinary carpenter. Matthew 13:55, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. If you've gotten them all so far, you're doing pretty good. Now it gets a little trickier, and don't say it out loud. Then let everybody have a chance. And I want you to put your first impression. Write it, circle it, or write it on your paper, and then we'll just see how many of those you knew from the Bible, how many you knew from what the world may have to say. Why didn't Joseph and Mary stay at the inn? Too expensive? There was no inn. There was no room in the inn, or none of the above. And don't say it out loud. Just answer that and say what you think. Okay, somebody said it out loud anyway. There was no room. Well, if you were in school, you'd be getting in trouble with the teacher. Luke 2 and verse 7, because there was no room for them in the inn. Tragic, isn't it? Born, God knew he was going to be born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, and yet there's no place for him to lay his head. And it didn't change as he got older. Okay, question 5, how did Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem? Now, again, quiet, because you may have one idea and you'll hear another. Did she ride a colt? Did Mary ride a donkey and Joseph walked? Did they ride by wagon? Or do we even know? Now, you're probably thinking, now, I've seen a lot of those pictures and movies and even Christmas cards where Mary's riding a donkey and Joseph is leading Mary on the donkey, right? So that may be your first impression. What's the correct answer biblically? Who knows? Did you realize the Bible does not say? Some suppose that she rode something because she was so far along in her pregnancy. In fact, one translation says that she was great with child. I think the New King James has altered that to say she was with child, but she was obviously about to have a baby, and here they go off to Bethlehem. So maybe she rode something, but the truth is the Bible doesn't say, and that's important for you to know. Question number 6. After being born, Jesus was placed in a basket, a manger, a pile of hay, or on the back of a donkey. Now, all of our Christmas stories say, where? In a manger. Is that right? Are you thinking that? It's like, I'm not sure. I thought it was a manger. What's the biblical answer? Yeah, it was a manger. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And what's interesting as you study Bible scholars writing about this is they think that in some cases maybe it was a little barn and there's a little manger in the barn. Others think, well, in Israel back at that time, sometimes it was a hewn out cave where that manger might have been. Some place to protect the newborn baby and its mother from the elements. But all we know is, according to this, is that he was placed in a manger, whatever that might be. Number 7, a manger is a what? Stable, feeding trough, wooden table, or barn? What is a manger? I didn't say answer out loud. These are rhetorical questions. It's a feeding trough. You probably didn't know that unless you heard Wendell and Ray say so. The word comes from a Greek word that means to eat. And so it's probably a feeding trough for the animals. If you've grown up in a farm, you know what that looks like. And it's somewhat similar to what you see in some of these Christmas stories. Okay, when I ask out loud, unless I say, okay, you can answer, you can't answer. Which animals does the Bible say were housed in the stable? Again, keep this to yourself. Cows, donkeys, and sheep, lions, tigers, and bears, goats, sheep, and cows. Well, the Bible doesn't say. Now, if you go by the manger scenes, I think it'd probably be cows, donkeys, and sheep, wouldn't you say? That's what we see. I know it's not tigers, lions, and bears. It might be goats, sheep, and cows. But what does the Bible say? Now you can answer out loud. Caleb, what do you say? You're shaking your head. Very good. The Bible doesn't say. Caleb's right. He reads his Bible. And as a result, that's just more of the Christmas story that people have added to it. And it may break your heart to realize that those manger scenes aren't necessarily accurate. Now, were there animals there? Maybe. Does the Bible tell us? No. So for all we know, it could be tigers, lions, and bears, but I doubt it. Number 9, from what area were the three kings that visited Jesus? And again, don't answer out loud. Did they come from the west, the east, the orient, or none of the above? Be careful. From what area were the three kings that visited Jesus? The west, the east, the orient, or none of the above? Okay, you've had a chance to think about it. What's your answer? Josh Kleinlein? None of the above is the right answer. That's a trick question. Because as Josh said, the Bible only talks about the wise magi coming to see Jesus. The Bible never describes them as kings. So forget the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Matthew 2:1 says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the what? East to visit to Jerusalem. So wise men came from the east, but no kings that we know of. So again, the difference between what you've learned by secular history or by culture and what the Bible actually says may not be the same. So now you know, no kings. Question 10, what sign were the shepherds told to look for by the angel? A lion and a sheep together in peace? A tree with a star on top? A star over Bethlehem, or none of the above? Again, go for your first instinct. Don't let my trick questions cause you to be tricked. And by the way, this quiz is not mine. I borrowed it from another brother on ebibleteacher.com if you're interested. And the correct answer is... very good. A star over Bethlehem. No. None of the above. It says, Luke 2 and verse 12, this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Another one of those trick questions. What's the trick about it? What sign were the shepherds told? Like I said, careful, that's the same question. None of the above. This shall be a sign, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And that's in Luke chapter 2, and in Luke, that's what they do. They immediately go to the Bethlehem and find the babe lying in the manger. Question 11, with what words did the heavenly host of angels praise God? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Glory, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, or glory to God in the highest. That can't be none of the above, because that's not a choice. One of those is correct. And your answer is, you want to try again? No. Not joy to the world. Anybody else want to try? Now everybody's getting timid on me. What? D. Glory to God of the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's in the book of Luke. The other songs were written long after Christ died, and glory to God was not to the modern tune, by the way. Question 12. Anybody get all of them so far? Probably did. What is frankincense? A form of gold, an incense from a tree, a jewel, or none of the above? Now, this is kind of a Bible answer. Not a Bible answer so much, except to know what frankincense is. Go ahead if you'd like to answer. It's not none of the above. Very good. You're a good guesser. It is incense from a tree. A valuable incense made from the sap of a tree. So if that was brought as a gift to Jesus, it was a valuable gift. Frankincense. What is myrrh? A musical instrument, a spice used for burial, a valuable wine, or none of the above. Okay.
I would say it's C.
C? No, not C. You try. B. Just guessing, but you guessed right again. It is a spice used for burial. John 19:39-40, there also came Nicodemus. This is about the death of Jesus, which first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. The myrrh, along with frankincense, are two of the gifts that were brought to Jesus as a baby, because they were quite valuable. And this story of Jesus being buried in this expensive ointment tells us that Nicodemus was a very wealthy man. 14, how many wise men came to see Jesus? Don't say out loud. Luke, I'll let you answer that one. Not yet, in a minute. 1, 2, 3, or none of the above? Luke, sir? None of the above. The Bible does not say. So where do we get the idea? Some suppose there were three, since there were three gifts, but that's just a guess. Matthew 2 and verse 1 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Does it say three? No, it just says wise men. Three is the guess from how many gifts were given. And in Catholic tradition, since the Bible has closed, they not only say there are three, they've actually got names for them, but that's not what the Bible says. Question 15, what does wise men most likely refer to? Lawyers, stargazers, priests, or doctors? And circle your own answer on that one if you don't know, or if you do know, or if you think you know. What's your answer? Anybody want to take a shot at this one? Nathan, it's stargazers, absolutely. See any commentary. Stargazers could often navigate, predict the times for best planning. They knew math, astronomy, and calendar systems. They were very important men in the agricultural societies of that day and age. So that's pretty interesting. Wise men. Okay. Number 16, the wise men met Jesus where? In a manger, in a castle, in a stable, or in a house? Another difficult question if you're used to tradition. I'll let you take a chance. Yeah, you'd think manger, wouldn't you? What's the right answer? It is D, a house. And see, the Bible teaches that. Matthew 2 and verse 11, when they were come into the house. Now, the shepherds keeping their sheep in the field by night, in Luke, they came immediately and met Jesus Christ and found him lying in a manger. But in Matthew's account, that leaves out some time. By the time these wise men follow the star and find Jesus, he's already now located in a house. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now see, that messes up the manger scene all over again, doesn't it? Because you got three wise men with gifts meeting baby Jesus in a manger, and that's not what the Bible teaches. You see how much what you've seen and what you've heard and what's been repeated sometimes affects your thinking, and you didn't know you were wrong all along, Ace? Right. I don't know exactly. But you're right. He's older than the newborn baby now. Yeah. And there's another hint in the text, because when Herod finds the wise men are going to go meet the baby, he says, when you come back from Bethlehem, you come to me and tell me where he is so that I can worship him too. But the wise men in a dream were told go a different way because Herod seeks to kill the child. So they went home a different way. When Herod figured out he'd been duped, he then sent soldiers, and they went to Bethlehem, and what'd they do? They killed all the male babies born in that town from what age? 2 years old and under. So there's a time element for you. At less than 2 years, but by the time he figured out he'd been fooled, he wanted to be sure he was accurate. What a tragedy that all two-year-old male babies in Bethlehem were executed. 17, who told Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem? An angel, Caesar Augustus, Herod, or nobody? Zeke? Caesar Augustus. Very good. And that gives us a time frame. Caesar Augustus commanded. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So think about Mary and Joseph living first in Nazareth, going to Bethlehem only because Caesar Augustus, the Roman ruler of the world at that time, commanded people to go to their home place and be taxed. So Caesar Augustus commanded that. The child Jesus went to Egypt to meet Pharaoh because Joseph was told in a dream to take him. Joseph did not take Jesus into Egypt or none of the above. What does the Bible say? Luke, I'll let you answer again. B, sure. Joseph was told in a dream to take him to Egypt because Herod sought the child's life. Had he remained in Bethlehem, he might have been killed. Had he remained in Galilee, he might have been killed. And so he went all the way to Egypt for safety's sake. 19, oops, one more. Matthew 2:13, When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. King James Version, Matthew 2:13. 19, according to the Bible, a little drummer boy met Jesus when Jesus was in the manger at a house when Jesus was about 2 years old or none of the above. Careful when you raise your hand on that one. Ethan, I'll let you pick. None of the above. And so Caleb Haskell is very disturbed about that, but he's correct. No drummer boys at all in the Bible, right? The story of the drummer boy meeting Jesus is not a Bible truth. How many people knew that? Everybody? Did anybody think it was a drummer boy in the Bible anywhere? Surely not. Surely not. 20, which books do we find the story of Jesus' birth? Okay, give everybody time. Multiple choice answer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're listening to the sermon, Matthew and Luke. Very good. Both of them. Been quoting from both of them, and that's the only two places. Mark does not include the story. John, which is a supplemental gospel, does not include it. Matthew tells the story from a Jewish standpoint, written to the Jewish people. Luke is written more to the Gentiles and includes lots of Gentile truths like Caesar Augustus and other stories or other aspects to that story that Gentile people would be particularly interested in. Interesting that down through the years, naysayers of the Bible said, well, there never was a decree by Caesar Augustus. And then they say, well, there was no Quirinius in Syria. And, of course, they say that trying to discredit the Bible, and then years later it turns out, no, those things both did happen, and they were true. Every 14 years, Caesar Augustus was known to have done that. And so the Bible's very accurate. If you remember reading Luke, who was a what? What was his job? He was a physician. He said, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very beginning, I decided to write an orderly treatise as well to you, O Theophilus. What does Theophilus mean? Lover of God. Theos is God. Philo from Philus, lover of God. Last one. In which books do we find the story of Jesus' birth? Matthew, Luke. Well, I already said that. 21 is the last question. December 25th has been celebrated as Christmas since the Bible was written. True or false?
False.
False. In fact, although the Bible talks about the birth of Jesus, it never uses the word Christmas. As best we know, the earliest Christians did not celebrate Christmas. Later, several different dates were observed by Christians, but it wasn't about the 4th century that December 25th became the common day of celebration. The fact is that no one really knows when Jesus was born. And more importantly, the Bible never teaches us to worship God, to worship Jesus Christ by celebrating His birthday. We are commanded to remember Jesus till He comes again by celebrating His what? Death, as we did this morning in the Lord's Supper. And not just once a year, but every first day of the week. So here's the lesson, the point of the lesson. If this were a class, we'd have discussion. How does our culture influence how we understand Bible stories? Well, if you miss some of those questions, the answer is obvious. You've watched the shows, you've listened to the songs, you've watched Charlie Brown Christmas, and maybe missed out on some of those points. And so why do we not celebrate Christmas here? Because it's not authorized by the Bible. It's something invented by man. Are we sad Jesus was born? Not at all. We're thankful for it. We praise God for it. We can say, as the angels did, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But in a church that celebrates doing God's will and God's way, we require book, chapter, and verse for all that we say and do religiously. Just like I've been asking you to go through your Bible, and now you can go home and read Matthew 2 and Luke chapter 2 and look at the details given and see how much is there and how much is omitted. Because one day, as you've noticed on your paper, we're not going to turn this in for a grade, but one day the Lord will judge all of us based on what the Bible has taught us or not taught us. And so hopefully this has been encouraging to you, informational to you, and enlightening to you. But what you need to realize is, Jesus Christ said in John 12 and verse 48, not as little babe in the manger, because the babe in the manger couldn't speak. The babe in the manger is harmless. I think people like to worship the babe in the manger because he requires nothing of us. But when that babe grew up, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He meant it. Jesus Christ taught the truth. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. As a grown man, he was hated by the religious people because he condemned their human traditions and said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And so Jesus would not be in favor of Christmas as it's celebrated today. Had he been interested in that, he would have told us to do it. And he condemned those of his day who did human things in human ways rather than doing divine things in divine ways. And then he said in John 12, 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. So here's the book that's going to judge me and you. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says that Jesus Christ will come, that each one of us will be judged according to things written in the book, whether good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? If you were to die right now, would you be ready to meet God in judgment? If the answer is no, it's because you haven't read the Bible, you haven't believed in Jesus as God's Son, nor have you repented of your sins, confessed Christ, or been baptized for the remission of your sins. And yet that's what Jesus commanded to be done. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he said, all authority has been given to me. Go preach the gospel to the whole world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, what? That I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Everything we do here on Sunday morning, sermons, prayer, the Lord's Supper, giving of our means as members here, singing, have all been specifically commanded by Jesus Christ to be done by his disciples, the church. Everything we do, we can give you book, chapter, and verse 4. That way we're doing what Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And now we know, having done that, that the Lord is with us, even though we cannot see him. So the question you need to ask yourself is, am I submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ? Do I realize that one day if I do not, I will meet God in judgment? You know that Christ might come today? We don't know, do we? There are no signs as to when he will come, but when he comes, the end will be there, and that will be it. But let me finish our sermon this morning by reading a poem that someone has written that had just, as you'll notice, the night before Christmas. This is entitled, "'Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom, in her rocker with baby on her lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just as he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," I hung my head in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. So if you'd like to respond to the gospel this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.